Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and it's time now for our bi-weekly tech talk. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. It's done with the Boston Globe's tech writer, Hiawatha Bray. Hello, Hiawatha.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Oh, fine, fine. A little exhausted. It's been a lively week.
Really? For what possible reason? Could it maybe be Mark Zuckerberg appearing before Congress here? Do you think we learned anything from him?
Well, we learned that there are a lot of people in Congress who are at least a little confused about how the internet works.
Yeah.
Although I thought some of the questions were—I didn't think all the questions were as ridiculous as some were making out. There was the senator who was asking if they could put fiber into her neighborhood or something, which I thought was a little weird. But you know, it's pretty clear from what's going on here that people are really alarmed with what's going on, and also that Mark Zuckerberg is very good at deflecting some of these questions and coming across as a sensible, reasonable person. But this is just the beginning. It's only, you know, going to get more interesting as this goes on.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some of the ideas that we can sort of parse from Zuckerberg's testimony. I mean, what about whether users would pay Facebook a premium, for example, where their data is not sold to advertisers? I mean, ostensibly, it sounds like a good idea. What do you think?
Well, not necessarily. Who'd pay? I mean, I wrote about this today in my column about companies that are trying to come up with something like a freemium version of a social network. You know what freemium is, right? That's like those games you get on your phone,
right,
and you can play them. But if you want extra powers so you can do more things, you pay them a little money. They're trying to see if you could come up with a social network. There's one I'm writing about called MeWe, which I think is pretty cool. There's another one called IDKA, which is based in Sweden. And they're trying to come up with a thing where you get storage on the system, and then you pay them for extra gigabytes of storage so you can put in more photos and more videos, and that's how they'd make their money. But nobody thinks that 2 billion people would ever sign up for a service like that. There's no way it's ever going to become competitive with Facebook.
Yeah. I mean,
all of that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Facebook has achieved its scale in part because no one has to pay for it, and it does connect them with so many people. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Yeah. But you wrote about MeWe, but you also wrote about a couple of other alternatives that very few people are using. Like, I don't know how.
I wrote about, I mentioned IDKA, but of course, I also mentioned the Twitter alternative, Gab, which shows what happens when one of these things starts out with a lot of hoopla. It was started by a Trump supporter, a very hardcore right-wing guy, who was convinced that Twitter is prejudiced against right-of-center points of view. The problem is that Gab has simply become this gigantic alt-right, well, frankly,
right,
it's a cesspool of the most explicitly racist stuff you'd ever want to see. I don't think that was inevitable, but that's what ended up happening. The only people who seem to want to go to some of these alternate sites are the people on the extremes who know they might get kicked off of a Facebook or a Twitter. And that's unfortunate because I really think we would be better off with an alternative, but it's kind of hard to see where it's going to come from.
Yeah. But so here's one of the things that we're wondering is the nature of what has most recently brought Facebook to the legislators' attention is the whole Cambridge Analytica thing. And
right.
Oh my gosh, that's what Sheryl Sandberg calls it, the Cambridge Analytica thing. I'm going to actually rephrase and say the massive theft of data from 87 million Facebook users, then used by Cambridge Analytica to perhaps sway elections. It's not just a thing.
Yeah.
It was real.
Right.
But given the nature of what happened, I'm wondering how even the few users on these premium services can feel confident that similar things would not occur with their data on these supposedly closed networks.
Well, you're never going to be completely certain any more than you can be certain that somebody's not going to break into your house. There's no perfect security. And obviously, the ultimate solution to things like this is to be very, very careful about what you share on public social networks. And as long as you're sharing it with Internet sites that have some store of information about you, there's always going to be a risk that some of it's going to get stolen. So that's baked into the cake. There's no way around that. Now, the thing that, and I mentioned this in one of the pieces I wrote. The thing that fascinated me is that people got so obsessed about Cambridge Analytica, and that puzzled me because we know for a fact that Facebook had been doing stuff like this for years, and it was known, it was being written about, that, for example, the Obama presidential campaign was getting huge amounts of data. We know that all these advertisers were getting huge amounts of data. I think it's because people are mad at Donald Trump. Because the minute somebody said, hey, doing this might have helped elect Trump, suddenly it becomes a nightmare. But it has been going on for years. And now people are at least alert to it and starting to worry about it.
Okay, but hang on here for a second. I disagree because I think the scale of that we're talking about with Cambridge Analytica is markedly different than what we've seen before. And also, there were many people who, you know,
not if you believe that woman, I forget her name, who was quoted for the Obama from America campaign, who basically said that they were allowed to basically read everything. They were given access to the entire social graph of Americans on Facebook back during 2012. It was at least as big, probably bigger than what happened. So no, actually, this was not bigger than what had happened before. And that, again, doesn't count all the advertisers, all the businesses that were getting access to the data. So no, I don't think this is bigger.
Okay, but then, so what about the idea, though, that we even people whose original profiles weren't accessed by those apps, that those profiles that ended up going to Cambridge Analytica, you'd be at secondary and tertiary levels of connection, and still would go out.
No. That's absolutely right. But that was going on in other cases, too. But you're absolutely right. Now, let's be fair. Facebook changed that. Actually, they changed it in 2015. You can no longer make an app that will go in and not just find out everything about you, but everything about all your friends. This is data that they were stealing basically from us up until 2015, and they're not doing it anymore. But for those of us who are on Facebook prior to 2015, there are all these people out there who've got your information already, and they've got it. And Facebook right now says, we're going to track them down, we're going to find every company that got it, and we're going to put the horse back in the barn. I don't see how they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. You know, okay, so to get back to your point about people caring about this because it's Trump, I just disagree. I would hope that if it were flipped, and I think the problem is that Facebook didn't tell anybody. That's what I think the problem is, because they knew
for a couple of years,
right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, like,
yeah,
if it were flipped and it were the Clinton camp, for example, who had done this, I would hope that there would be just as much outrage, because the fundamental problem is we have no control over our data.
Absolutely. And well, no, you do. You do. Just don't tell them. I mean, that's the other thing.
Right.
I'm sorry. At the end of the day, if you don't want these
don't
guys to know it. Right. And like a company like
a
MeWe, that's one of their appeals. They're saying, we're not going to have advertising. The whole point is, we are going to not sell your data, and we are not going to use it to process advertisements of any kind. And we absolutely promise not to do that. Unless you're working for a service, working with a service that does that, your data could be subject to being taken. So don't provide it.
Well, then you won't know anybody.
I'm sorry. And then you won't know anybody.
That might work for you and me, but would it work for everybody else?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not convinced that this is totally hopeless. It depends on how much people care. There are two schools of thought about this. There are those who say, you know, most people just don't care, and they're just going to have to accept the fact that they don't have any privacy. And then there are those like me who think, I'm not totally convinced. Maybe if a good enough platform came along, we might rethink things. But in the long run, 2 billion users, no. No, it's never going to be as big as that, because there's always going to be a large percentage of people who are going to be somewhere in the middle and just say, well, I don't think that they're knowing this about me or that about me is so bad. And as long as it's free, I'm going to go for it. So we'll just have to see how it shakes out. But along the way, I think we're going to have to take serious looks at laws to regulate privacy. Now, some people are saying you can't regulate Facebook because these people don't know enough to regulate Facebook. And they have a point. A lot of these people didn't seem to know what they were talking about. But I'm not talking about regulating Facebook here. I'm talking about regulating
privacy.
In general,
yeah.
What any of these companies can do with our data. I mean, the one that freaks me out is a company like, say, Experian.
Yeah.
Where these guys are collecting this data. And the thing about companies like these that are called data brokers, they don't even ask your permission.
They just do
they just
it.
Go, yeah. They just do it. I belong to this site. Oh, it's this great service called Spokeo. And I just recently joined it. And I can go and put in your email address, and they will look you up and give me a history of your life. They'll tell me where you lived 5 years ago and all kinds of stuff just based on your email address, because they find that on publicly available government websites or on the internet, and they just put it all together in one place, and you can go buy this information about millions of people. Any of us can.
Hiawatha is our dystopian present. I gotta stop it there. I can only take so much.
Hiawatha, I'm sorry.
Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe. Thank you, as always, Hiawatha.
You're welcome.